Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and VetFran. Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at VetFran.org. All right, folks, the comeback of a lifetime continues. We're speaking today and every week with franchise leaders on the Franchise Spotlight about how their businesses are pivoting and how they're coming back in this COVID-19 and post-COVID-19 era. Today's guest is Joey Osborne. He's the founder and president of Mosquito Authority. Joey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for being here. I really want to dive into how things are going with your system and your franchisees. But right before we get to that, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
I'll be happy to, Jack. Thank you. So, yeah, I tell folks I'm afflicted with serial entrepreneurism. I think that if folks that have that will totally realize that it's an affliction, and probably their spouses realize even more so.
The spouse has diagnosed it, yes.
Early on. I think in my case, my parents actually diagnosed it when I was about six and wanted to go knock on doors to sell flower seeds and greeting cards and anything else that I could get my hands on to sell. So, but yeah, that's been my life. I'm almost 60 now, so it's hard to think of a business that I have not been involved in at some point in time. Most of them are legal. Those that are not, I think the statute of limitations has run out on the others.
Or they're becoming legal sometimes. Yeah, you'll be fine.
That's a good point. Yeah, they probably, if I wait long enough, I can probably get back into some of those. But yeah, about now 15 years ago, this mosquito opportunity came along as a brand new industry at the time. And I had a one-year-old who we could not have in our backyard without her being eaten alive by mosquitoes. And started looking at options, maybe some things that we could do. We had tried DEET and all the repellents, the citronella and all that. And none of that really worked. We didn't like spraying chemicals on her skin. So part of the process of trying to find an option, I did come across a company who was doing backyard mosquito control at the time. They gave me a price. It was more than I wanted to spend. And as a do-it-yourselfer, I launched into figuring out how to do it. Long story short, was able to figure out what they were doing. Did it in my yard, had zero mosquitoes after that. My wife was blown away. So I go over to Fast Signs, get a couple yard signs printed, came up with some name. I think I even called it Mosquito Busters. Popped a yard sign in my yard. Before I knew it, neighbors were asking me about it, and I was doing mosquito treatments all over town and did that for 5 years. And at about the 5-year mark, I totally realized I needed to expand it. And I had not been involved in franchising. Prior to that, I'd been mostly involved in the construction industry. So I had to learn fast about how to do a franchise model. And that's now 11 years ago. And from that point to this point now, we're at, I think, about 450 or so locations, 140 wow. Franchisees in about 38 states. And it's all because of the model. I wish I could take credit for being a genius franchisor. But for us and for me, it's just been about a unique model that came along at just the right at the right time.
So tell me about the decision to go down the franchise road and seek out that model. Mm-hmm. Did you think about not franchising and just trying to grow it yourself and organically, or what kind of led you to it?
Yeah, so I did exactly that. I was able to learn enough about franchising at that point to know that it was an expensive proposition. Mm-hmm. Everything I read, $30,000 to $50,000 to get a franchise agreement structured. And And I did not have the budget for any of that. So I did talk to a couple of lawyers who were offering free advice, and quickly realized that there was really no way to do it the way I wanted to do it and not be a franchise. Of course, I wanted to have my brand involved. I wanted to collect money from people, and I knew I needed to tell them how to do it. And those are the three legs that constitute a franchise. So I buckled down and scraped and scratched and put together a franchise agreement and over a period of about a year, probably a year and a half, and launched from there. So it, yeah, but I certainly would have preferred at the time, probably I thought that I'd prefer to do it via a distribution or some mm-hmm. other channel. But now I look back and it's one of the greatest things that happened was I was forced to go down the franchising route because it's just a marvelous model. And I encourage anybody and everybody, whether you have a business idea, a concept, or you're looking to get involved in a business, being a franchisor or a franchisee, it's just a marvelous model.
Did you have any sort of go-to resources at the time that helped you through it? Any advisors or other folks that you know kind of showed you what they were doing?
Yes, good question. I did have the internet. Of course, it's even thinking back to that now goes back to probably 12 years ago. It wasn't nearly then what it is now.
Yeah.
But I was able to glean enough information. I was able to find a couple of phone numbers for people who were offering a free 1 hour consultation, and that's the particular attorney that I mentioned. But generally speaking, again, because of bootstrap, no budget, I had to do it most of it myself. I don't advise anybody to do that again because there's always a cost, and if you avoid the cost, the fees up front, you got to pay them later. In my case, I ended up paying them later because my franchise agreement wasn't as solid as it should have been, and that kind of thing. So, but that was that was the story for me, underfunding. And when I look back, and I tell folks this today, if I had to do anything all over again, I would seek out investors, I would seek out partners to bring to the table from a capital perspective for me at that point. But there are all sorts of other reasons to utilize partners or expertise, as you say. But at that time for me, it was the need for capital to really have done it right out of the gate.
But in just a matter of 12 years or so, now you're at 400 locations. That's some pretty rapid growth.
It is. We were very, again, very, very fortunate to have timed this thing just right. So we launched our franchise model in late 2009. On Craigslist, of all places.
Wow.
Again, without a budget to advertise a franchise model, someone told me about Craigslist. So I hopped on Craigslist and I started posting actually free ads that were posted them in the business section where people were selling used office equipment, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Mm.
And the ad said ground floor mosquito control opportunity, Tampa, Florida. Click here, and I had a little website that I had built myself for a couple $100, and I did that, and I was getting 10 to 15 leads per day for free. We sold, that was the end of 2009, so I sold alone, I was a one-man team, 6 or 8 locations the last 2 months of 2009, and I brought on a friend of mine who had sales experience, and in 2010, we sold 100 units, so
wow.
We were off to the races.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a year, 2010.
Yeah,
especially just coming out of the recession, too. I think things maybe just kind of lined up perfectly at that time.
They did. Absolutely. And what's really interesting now is that we're seeing a very, very similar scenario play out. So 2010, what had happened was, and I didn't realize it at the time, but there were a lot of displaced people who had good paying jobs and careers going, and they saw that being threatened. In some cases, they had actually experienced that coming to an end. So there were a lot of people looking for Plan B in 2010, and we're seeing that exact same thing play out now in the franchising space. Our lead funnels have never been fuller than they are, and we're getting franchise leads at as good a price as we've ever gotten them.
That's great.
And I see that being even better maybe later this year, certainly next year, once people get a little more settled from this the COVID situation. So, yeah, it's a very similar time, very similar time.
Yeah, I think the one silver lining in the dark cloud of unemployment and everybody still being anxious and nervous about COVID is there's going to be a lot of potential business owners who decide, I don't want to go back to my corporate job, even if I get called back or find something else. I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to get furloughed again. Or maybe I have decided that working from home or, you know, being out of the cubicle and you know, making my own hours and running my own day, maybe that's for me. So I think I think you're spot on that there's just tremendous opportunity for business ownership in, you know, second half of this year and early 2021.
Totally agree.
And now you also have rolled out a second brand, Pest Authority. Tell me about Pest Authority.
Yes, we have. So Pest Authority has been was in beta for us for 3.5 or 4 years with some of our existing Mosquito Authority franchisees. And the driver for that is that we quickly learned as competition started coming to the forefront when pest control companies started to get into mosquito control that we realized folks like to bundle things. So it's a no-brainer with our customer base, existing customer base being pretty large. It's a no-brainer add-on for us. So we're excited about it. We're taking a bit of an innovative approach in the way we're doing pest control compared to some of the big guys that have been out there for years. I'm a big believer in differentiation and doing that through innovation. So I think that we have maybe a leg up because of that. We're a no contract company. I think it's sort of an unusual concept in the pest control space. We surveyed, did a big study and found that that's the number one thing that existing pest control clients don't like. They don't like being bound to a contract. So it's just one of the things that we're doing differently, but we're excited about it. I think we're at 40 units now.
Wow.
On the pest side. And it's a big part of our growth strategy for the next 5 years.
And it sounds like your pipeline for future business owners with both of the brands, that pipeline is nice and full and it looks like a lot more growth in the coming year or so. How are your current franchisees doing as far as how has COVID-19 affected them and how have they had to change anything that they're doing?
Well, for us, we're very fortunate that we were we are an essential service. Both mosquito control and pest have been deemed essential services. So we're fortunate that we were able to continue to operate. And again, there's this sort of side effect of folks being quarantined and stuck at home is that they're using their backyards more.
Yeah.
They're eliminating vacations.
Yeah.
So all that results in disposable income and the need for backyard mosquito control service. So we've actually had one of our best growth years ever. So we're being empathetic and sympathetic about what's going on. There's a kind of a guilt thing actually that a lot of our franchisees have experienced in terms of, you know, we're out here, you know, we're totally non-impacted, but we're benefiting from this. And we're doing some give back things. Some of our clientele have been impacted with job loss and not having, not being able to afford a service. So we're waiving fees and doing some things, some give back things to try to help that situation.
That's good. And I get the guilt, but at the same time, if your franchisees and their teams are out there keeping people safe, I think the worst thing that could happen with you know, whatever's going to happen to the rest of this year with coronavirus as if there were major outbreaks of other types of diseases and things like that too. I mean, that would, that would get, you know, knock on wood, that hasn't happened yet, but we seem to hit another crisis every month or so this year. So,
you're exactly right. I think we have.
I think keeping people safe from other things is definitely an essential service right now. And I think you're right too about the summer vacations this year. I don't think too many people are flying to Europe or even to, you know, Disney or somewhere like that. So this is definitely the summer of fun in the backyard, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So let's talk about any other trends you're seeing for the rest of the year 2020, either in your industry or maybe in franchising. Anything that you and your team are looking at, and it could be, you know, even more opportunity like we've been talking about, or maybe even some threats and some things that franchisors and other people in your industry should be watching.
Yeah, super question. Specifically to our industry, the mosquito control space, we're seeing, I think the next big thing we're going to be seeing is a wave of innovation in the way mosquito control is done, and likely even the way pest control is done. Pest has seen sort of some shift, a major shift in the pest control space. Years ago was that pest control moved from inside the home to outside the home. So, you know, they used to come in your house and spray your baseboards, and that's rarely done anymore. So that was a major shift in that industry. I think the next one we're going to see in mosquito control is a higher degree of two things, actually. Technology coming into play. There are two or three companies that are really doing some amazing things in terms of innovation. And I don't like to use genetically modified. Most of these new solutions are not genetic modifications, but there are three companies that are putting a lot of time and money into creating mosquitoes that actually go out and combat the other mosquitoes and they're getting really good results in lowering mosquito populations. And this is a chemical-free way of doing it. And then the second piece is similar to that, and that's where finally, after, again, 15 years for me, finally starting to see some natural and organic products that actually work and actually lower the mosquito population. So I'm excited about those two things from a, you know, practical standpoint, but probably franchising in general. One thing I'm seeing now is there is so much available capital in the marketplace in terms of private equity and other investment opportunities that are just looking for a place to land. Our two major competitors, Mosquito Joe and Mosquito Squad, have both sold to some version of private equity. Mm-hmm. In the past year and a half or 2 years. We're in constant conversations with folks. And it's all about that these smart money folks like the franchise space. I think that bodes really well. So, and I speak to new franchisors who call me up for advice. And the first thing I tell them is to think now with the end in mind. And that end could easily be 5 to 10 years. I don't say end, but an exit.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say end, but an exit. If I had to do it again, second thing I would do over, aside from having capital up front, would be very, very intentional on how do I build this model so it will be very attractive to these companies who have tons of money and are willing to come into the space.
That's some great advice for emerging brands. Joey, we're going to be back in just a moment to get some contact information if anyone would like to learn a little bit more about you or your brands. But first, a quick message. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey. And I want to thank my team at Social Joey for supporting this podcast and helping our listeners, and remind you that if you're duplicating social media posts on multiple franchisee pages, you might be in trouble. Facebook's going to get you. Also, some people are talking about syndicated or localized content in place of local content. It's just as bad. Find out more at socialjoey.com. Joey Osborne, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing some great advice to other franchisors in the space. If anybody wants to learn more about the brands or you, where can we send them?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. And I appreciate the opportunity to join you today. So mosquitofranchise.com, mosquitofranchise.com is a good source for information about what we do as a franchisor. And I'm happy to share my personal email address as well. Anyone can certainly, I certainly welcome people to reach out to me. And it's joey@bugsbite.com, joey@bugsbite.com.
Awesome. Love those email addresses that you guys have, by the way. And we're going to have links to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com so people can find you nice and easy. Joey, thank you so much. And we'll chat with you again down the road.
My pleasure, Jack. Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.